Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While Jesus was going through a field of grain on a Sabbath, his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you not read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he went into the house of God, took the bread of offering, which only the priest could lawfully eat, ate of it, and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Begun St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which was written to this tiny little church in modern-day Turkey that was suffering from the Gnostic heresy. Gnosticism always involves two parts: a hatred of matter, a dualism that thinks that spirit is good and matter bad. Therefore, God, who is good, could never have taken on flesh. The incarnation couldn't have happened. The passion and death of the Lord couldn't have happened. The sacraments can't happen, most especially the Eucharist, because matter in this conception is evil. And the second conception is that there are only a few initiated, really super intelligent spiritual ones who know this. Everybody else is deceived. In order to grow, you have to have this special gnosis, you have to have this special knowledge. St. Paul takes a sledgehammer to that whole falsity, and we see it throughout the letter to the Colossians. This couple of days we have heard it in the way that he's been stressing the incarnation, now Jesus died for us, given himself, shedding his blood on Calvary. So St. Paul is appealing to the Colossians, first, to grasp the meaning of the incarnation and the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord, and to live firmly in alignment with it, because they were being tempted by these Gnostics who had come among them to abandon the true faith for this philosophical, pseudo-theological idea. So St. Paul's words here are relevant in any age to those who are tempted by this New Age type of thinking. It says, "You were once alienated and hostile, but God has reconciled you." How? In the fleshly body of Jesus through his death. So God reconciled us to himself by taking on our humanity and giving it an expiation for our sins. And there was a purpose to that, to present you holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before him. Jesus' blood is the most powerful detergent of all time. It can clean even the most scarlet of sins. Not just cover it over with snow, but thoroughly purify it from within. That's his purpose, so that we can be holy, immaculate, irreproachable before him. This is his goal for his bride, as he would say in his letter to the Ephesians, which parallels quite a bit the letter to the Colossians. He's saying almost the same thing to two different churches in two different ways. But there's a condition upon it. Yes, God has the power in his incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection. This is the purpose for us to be holy, immaculate, and irreproachable. But we have to receive that gift and respond. And St. Paul says, provided that you persevere in the faith. You can't be going in every direction according to the latest winds. You have to be solid. You really have to build your life on Christ. Persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, like on the rock, stable, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you've heard. There's always the temptation to shift from the gospel we've heard. Sometimes we can shift in a laxist direction, starting to water it down, losing the love we had at first, cutting some corners, not being faithful in the little details. But sometimes we can shift in a rigorous direction. We can start to absolutize the details. We can start to find in those our meaning rather than in the bigger stuff. We can forget about the gospel itself and start to latch on sometimes to a particular aspect of the rule that's no longer integrated in our own understanding of the gospel. Sometimes it can be on what Pope Francis calls ideology, where we focus on one part, absent the whole. So we become ideologues, pushing something in particular, rather than truly living the gospel. This was the problem with the Pharisees we encounter in today's gospel. Pharisees had started by wanting to be 100% faithful to the Mosaic law. They received what the scribes had been studying after the exile and wanted to live it 100%. But they began to focus on their own interpretations of how to implement the Mosaic law far more than the whole point. Jesus in St. Matthew's Gospel will stress it, that they focus on the gnat and swallow the camel, that they're not focused on the weightier things of the law. So we know what happened yesterday. The disciples of the Pharisees fast. The disciples of John the Baptist fast. You are not fasting. And Jesus described to them the real purpose of fasting. It's when the bridegroom isn't with them. It's when God is not with them. But the bridegroom was with them, and they were feasting, not fasting. But they didn't recognize that because they were blinded by an obsession on that little detail without focusing on God. Here, they say, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Because they were actually eating, as if God's will for his sons and daughters was to starve on the Lord's day. So there were three things. First action, which the Pharisees thought was prohibited by the Mosaic law, it wasn't. They picked a head of grain. Second, they threshed it in their hands, which was a second work, supposedly forbidden. Couldn't possibly honor God if you're doing this. And then actually eating. Eating was in itself forbidden. But the way that they were eating, they believed was. So Jesus was saying that that was absurd, and he used a rabbinical example for them to grasp it. How when David was fighting for the Lord, he went into the temple, took the showbread, which was put for a week in front of the Holy of Holies, and at the end it was replaced by another loaf, and the priests themselves would eat that week-old showbread. And he ate the showbread. And the superstition of the time was that it was exclusively for priests. That's not the weightiest aspect of what God had come to reveal. And David and his soldiers were fighting for the Lord, and so it was a good example, not a sin, Jesus was saying. If David could do that for his soldiers, the soldiers of God could eat. These apostles and disciples were clearly those soldiers. And then he finished by saying, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is about God, to focus on God. And in focusing on God and focusing on love of neighbor, it's not focused on these little details of fasting all day as if that's what God's greatest plan is for the day of foremost feasting and pressing the reset button. Jesus was constantly trying to call them back to the gospel he was enfleshing. A great example of someone who was holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before the Lord. Great example of perseverance and faith, firmly grounded and stable and never shifting from the hope of the gospel, is Our Lady. Tomorrow, the church will mark her birthday. Today, we celebrate votive mass of her holy name. God acted in her 47 years prior to the Passion, preserving her immaculate in St. Anne's womb. She herself morally remained without blemish and irreproachable before the Lord by making her life a fiat, identifying so much with her Immaculate Conception that she would say in Lourdes. She persevered in that fiat after Simeon had said words that pierced her heart. She persevered even when there were the contradictions in Nazareth, where her fellow citizens wanted to execute her son. She persevered ultimately to when that son, who had taken on her flesh in her womb, was giving that flesh on Calvary and reconciling us in his fleshly body through his death. She never shifted from the hope of the gospel, and even at Calvary stood, not swooned, recognizing that the words of the Archangel Gabriel, that her son would be great and be given the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom would have no end, were not being contradicted when she saw that flesh that she used to wash, bathed in blood, and heard his voice breathe its last. She persevered. She intercedes for us to recognize that her son is Lord of the Sabbath, that her son is Lord of every day, and that he has come to reconcile us, to make us holy, and to give us all the help he knows we need, to persevere faithfully, firmly, stably in this gospel. Praise be Jesus Christ.